Welcome back to the Lineup Logic Podcast. If you missed the early slate breakdown, that's a bummer. I broke down the early slate. Hopefully, you're listening to this main slate breakdown while your early slate lineups are exploding with dingers, because that is just what is bound to happen on this bananas early slate. I mean, just so many bad pitchers, so much good weather, just craziness. So I'm very hopeful that you listen to that and you're stacking up that Cubs-Reds game, stacking up those Texas bats, stacking up those Baltimore bats, loving the action on there. But I'm going to jump into the late slate, which is much less obvious, let's say. Let's use that word. Much less obvious on the late slate here. A little bit more complicated, and that starts primarily because of the pitching. It's just really bad. So we're gonna jump into it. And let's look at the games that we've got tonight. All right, so tonight on the main slate, you've only got five games, and it starts with two serious weather issues. You know, 40% chance of rain in the Toronto Atlanta game. Not great. Eight runs projected, however, and we've got four and a quarter projected for the Jays over the Braves. The Jays will pitch Marcus Stroman, who's been very solid this year. We obviously always feel comfortable with the way Marcus Stroman works deep into games, gets, you know, high quality outings, just continuously, you know, chips away at teams, inducing ground balls. You know, some really, really excellent starts for him. This could be another opportunity for that. Although, you know, the Braves got the bats going last night, that's for sure. Tehran on the other side, he has been, you know, hit or miss. It's hard for me to say that I'm interested in the Blue Jays lefties. They're just kind of hard to predict. I think the only guy that you can really feel comfortable with these days are Joey Bats, Justin Smoke. You know, those are the guys who seem to be consistent night in and night out. I'm not necessarily interested in stacking the Jays. I am very interested in Stroman. But that said, we've got bad weather, and you don't want to start a pitcher in a bad weather condition. The nice news is that it seems like the weather will come early and then perhaps start to fade away. So perhaps that game will just be in a delay and start. The Yankees-Royals game looks the opposite. It's going to start light and then get much worse, and it's not a great situation in Kansas City tonight. Jordan Montgomery and Danny Duffy, two of the better names on the slate as far as arms go, and two of your better options, to be honest with you. I mean, these just from on paper, these guys have better stuff than almost everybody else on the slate. You know, in that sense, you kind of want access to these pitchers, specifically Montgomery against the Royals. But the problem is you've got 30% chance of rain starting at first pitch, and then it slowly but surely goes up 10% all the way up until the middle of the night. So it's getting, you know, it starts bad, gets worse. So that's not good for pitchers, obviously. 8.5 runs projected, though, and the Yankees are obviously favored. Serious offense against lefties. Red Sox Athletics. I don't know how the Red Sox keep winning. They're continuously unimpressed, I think, is the way that I describe them. But I think if there was a team that's slightly more unimpressive, maybe it's the Cardinals. And that was just kind of a boring game last night. I mean, Porcello continues to get hard hit, and the ESPN network continues to be just crap. I mean, they talked about Dancing with the Stars for hours. And it was like, God, I used to love David Ross, and now I kind of can't stand him, because all he talks about is David Dancing with the Stars and how much fucking fun he's having. Good for you, bro. It's just like, can we talk about baseball? You got interesting takes on baseball. Can we talk about baseball? That's why we're here. But anyway, 8.5 runs projected in this Red Sox game. And no love for the A's is what I'm seeing here. It's a pick'em, but they're going up against Hector Velasquez, who literally doesn't even have a Fangraphs page. The guy's been pitching in the Mexican League for almost his whole career. He was just in Pawtucket this year. Got called up for the start. His numbers are solid in the Mexican League. Like, they're not bad. But, like, he's never pitched in the big leagues. He has no innings in the big leagues. This will be the first time he's seen the big leagues. His numbers in Pawtucket were fine. I don't know. It's interesting. Sonny Gray on the opposite side, not interested in him at all. I think you could definitely see the Red Sox knock him out of this one early. But the way those bats are going, it's just kind of like, meh. Do you want to pay 4-8 for Mookie Betts? You know, Andrew Benintendi is ice cold. Bogarts is mostly defense. And Hanley's hurt, you know? And Mitch Moreland hasn't done anything recently. I don't know. I mean, I'm not that interested in a Red Sox stack. Miami Dodgers, this is 8 runs projected here. Edison Volquez versus Hyunjin Ryu. Well, Ryu has some upside. I mean, the guy has a really high K rate. He has good stuff. He just also every once in a while gets exploded and blows up and gets smashed, you know? We stacked the Rockies against him the last time out, and he got just demolished. So, you know, I don't know that I want to start him. I think he's the only non-weather-related option that you have. And, okay, Miami's not that great against lefties, and you have a great ballpark, and Ryu's better at home. I guess you could start him. I mean, I'll talk about him. But I'm definitely starting the Dodgers against Volquez, who can get out of control, walks too many people, and it's the Dodgers' lefties. I mean, lefties of the Dodgers are some of my favorite stack candidates. So, you know, we're definitely looking at the Dodgers in this one, and Vegas likes them quite a bit. White Sox Mariners, this should be an interesting game. And by interesting, I mean we're going to see bats flying out of the park. At some point, people are just going to start throwing the ball out of the park because it's Dylan Covey versus Sam Gaviglio. Gaviglio is getting a spot start. It's just, there's some gnarly pitchers for these spot start guys. It's just kind of ridiculous. You know, and the numbers on Gaviglio are like very, very unbelievably small, but he got blown up in some of his relief innings this year. And his minor league numbers are meh. So I don't know. Covey, we know the numbers are bad. We've seen Covey. He gets blown up all the time. He's not a good pitcher, so I'm definitely into the Mariners. You know, this is kind of the recipe that they need to get themselves out of the funk. You know, there's plenty of good bats in that lineup to target Covey with. So this would be an interesting game. Game stack candidate for sure. But those are the 5. 2 really, you know, bad weather conditions in 2 of them where you have most of your quality pitching options. And then, you know, pretty downhill from there. So, you know, let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out if we can make some sense of this late slate. Who do you love? All right. So, you know, let's pretend that the weather's not an issue. It immediately puts Stroman into play. I think Stroman is definitely one of my favorite pitchers. His ability to work deep into games, his control. You know, he doesn't have a ton of strikeout upside, but he does have strikeouts, and he does have great ground ball numbers. He's a very solid pitcher, and I feel, I said this yesterday. I'm not threatened by Atlanta's offense, and I think they could be heating up, and I could be on the wrong side of this, or it could just be kind of that was a hot night. You know, they did get a Kurt Suzuki home run. How many nights a week are you going to get a Kurt Suzuki home run for a 3-run dinger to start the whole thing off? You know, yes, Markakis hit some RBIs, that kind of thing. But, like, I just, you know, the Kurt Suzuki dinger is not a common occurrence for the Braves. So, I'm okay targeting the Braves, I guess, still. They're average at best. Stroman, 19% K rate, 9% swinging strike rate, 58% ground ball rate. That's what he does. That's his game. Keeps the ball down, induces contact, and only a 22% fly ball rate. And against a guy like Freddie Freeman, you want a guy who can keep the ball down in the zone. You want a guy who's not going to give up those dingers. He's very solid. We've seen him get deep into games, pitch complete games before. The Braves are, you know, like I said, average against right-handed pitching. But I think, you know, we saw Biagini get blown up last night. He's just not the same guy. Stroman is the top of their rotation. He's the best guy that they have there. Biagini's, you know, obviously the bottom of the rotation. So Stroman is my guy. Problem is weather. If we get a, you know, a little bit of clearance and it looks better and they just say it's going to be a delay, I'm going with him anyway. It's worth, I think, the risk given the blow-up potential of some of the other pitchers on the board. I think if you want to pivot away from him, you got to look at Jordan Montgomery, whose weather situation is even worse, but his matchup is excellent against Kansas City. He's in a great spot. He's pitched well. Yeah, but then again, I said that against Pineda. The problem with Pineda was he didn't get any Ks early in the game. He was pitching a gem. You know, he got through four innings, no Ks, and then all of a sudden, you know, he comes and he gets bit by the home run bug. Sal Perez takes him yard. If there was anybody who was going to take Pineda yard, it was Sal Perez. Righty-lefty matchup. You know, Sal Perez is obviously, you know, an excellent hitter. So Sal Perez takes him yard. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, that's kind of what he does. He can hit lefties, and the wind was blowing out at 20 miles an hour. So you get a hold of one against Pineda, it's going to go. That's what he has. That's what happens. It's the downside of him. You know, but the problem was he didn't have any Ks before that. He had like three Ks, and then all of a sudden Perez goes for a two run, and, you know, you're undoing two of those Ks. It was a little bit of a bummer. But anyway, Montgomery has similar numbers. 23% strikeout rate, 13% swinging strike rate, which I love. An xFIP of 4.7, which I don't love. You know, the fly ball rate is the problem. But I think if the rain calms down, the nice part about the weather there is it's going to be blowing in. It's not going to be blowing out like it was last night. You get a massive ballpark, good wind helping the pitcher keep the ball down. I think Montgomery could be in a good spot here to, you know, get us six innings, not give up a lot of runs, get us a couple solid Ks, and you just kind of take it there. And he's at a really nice price, you know, he's at a really good price. So if none of those guys look like they're going to go and you want to get a little bit risky, it's definitely Ryu. Hyunjin Ryu is pretty much it. He's the only guy with any solid numbers up here that you could really trust. I'm not going to trust Sonny Gray. I'm not going to trust Velasquez. I mean, obviously, Velasquez could throw a gem against Oakland, who are ice cold. They couldn't even hit, Bergman last night. They go 0-for, which was unbelievable. Bergman walks everybody, and they couldn't hit him. I just blew my mind. You know, so, okay, you want to get really risky? Go ahead, Velasquez. I don't even know if he's on the slate for FanDuel because he just got called up. Let's see. It is no Fangraphs page. I don't know how he would be on the slate. FanDuel. It's kind of funny when you type in a name on Fangraphs and it's literally like, no, we don't know. We don't have any files on this guy. It's like, what? You guys have files on people from the 30s. What are you talking about? You don't have, there he is, Velasquez. There he is. 5,600. Velasquez will start Thursday's game against the Athletics. Very nice. Very nice. Good stuff. Okay. Well, hey, if you've been following the Pawtucket, you know, AAA stuff, and you know Velasquez has heat, then, you know, fire it up, man. But I don't know. You know, this is the big leagues, pal. So I think it's Ryu. All right. He's the only one, you know, you can trust with the weather. Obviously, it never rains in Los Angeles. So you got some nice stuff going here. Ryu, good K rate. Solid K rate. 23% K rate, 11% swinging strike rate. Miami on the road trip, pitcher's park, all that stuff kind of in his favor. He pitched one gem here at home this year. And, you know, the interesting thing about Ryu is that at home, you know, I think this one gem accounts for this, but he has a 34% strikeout rate at home. And there are strikeouts in Miami's lineup. If they all of a sudden get in a funk and they can't see anything, you know, Ryu could be the guy. Ryu could be the guy. Maybe we get a little bit of a gem from him. Maybe we just get six innings and six Ks and we take it and we walk away. You know, but at the same time, we know that the Dodgers don't give their pitchers a very long leash. You know, if he gets in a jam, he's going to get yanked. And we've seen him pitch some short games as well. You know, four innings in three of his starts and five in one of his starts. Now, you know, in that five-inning start against Philadelphia, he had nine strikeouts. So he still has massive K upside. when he's pitching specifically at home. He seems to know that he's got the ballpark in his favor and he misses bats. So, you know, I don't know. I think what I like about him in this spot is that he also has the matchup advantage over Volquez. You know, Volquez against Los Angeles is just, they slug. We know that they absolutely slug right-handed pitching. And I just think that, you know, Volquez hasn't really faced anybody that is scary to me. And, you know, even in that, he hasn't been excellent and he's got control issues. So, you know, you get a team that can hit everybody when it comes to right-handers. You know, even like Johnny Cueto, they give him a hard time. And, you know, the Volquez is a guy who has control issues and gives up contact. So you get the matchup advantage for Ryu, who can pound the strike zone, then throw Ks. If you get that K upside, all of a sudden you're sitting pretty, and he's, you know, he's 7,100. How many points do you want from a $7,100 pitcher? 30. Fine. Okay? But you're not starting any of the rest of these clowns. You know, obviously, I hope we get Stroman, but I'm not starting anybody else. I mean, maybe Teheran, but he's got the same problem as Stroman. And he's gotten exploded in a couple of his last couple starts. He blew up against St. Louis. He got blown up against the Mets. You know, every once in a while, Teheran goes out there and he just gets absolutely shelled. So, you know, I'm not really sure what we can do about that. You know, I think we look at Stroman, we look at Montgomery, and then we look at Ryu, and we'll go with the weather. We figure it out. You know, I don't know. The bats, however, are in a much better spot. Okay, we got a lot of really nice spots to stack here tonight. Some really, really good stuff. It starts with the Chicago Seattle game for me. You know, Chicago continues their road trip, and Dylan Covey is an absolute gas can. We find him at the bottom of the barrel FIP chart. We have noticed we've been stacking against him pretty much every single time he is out there. You know, 40%, just about 40% fly ball rate, 40% hard contact, both just 36 and 38. Give the man some credit, right? Balls leaving the bat at a pretty serious rate for him. He's been pretty bad. I got to be honest with you. This guy is no good. So absolutely going after Covey, especially considering that he has only a 14% K rate and a 10% walk rate. So here we come, Seattle. No problem with the Seattle bats here. They need a wake-up call. Covey's the guy that's going to get them woken up. I like the top of the order. You got to have Nelson Cruz even against a righty. It doesn't matter. He's going to hit. He hits well against both. Obviously, lefties, he smashes, but he hits well against righties as well. You'd be a fool if you missed out on Nelson Cruz. And, you know, you go from the top and you get Gene Segura, who's been very solid, Ben Gamel, and Corey Seager also. So wait for the lineup. We'll figure out what it looks like. I know Seattle's been mixing and matching because they have some injuries. So we'll wait for the lineup and we'll take 1 through 4, maybe the 5 spot if we get some nice bats in there as well. So no problem with those guys against a gas can like Covey. Now you flip to the opposite side, Sam Gaviglio. There's not a lot of data on this joker, okay? There's not a lot to say, you know, except for that in the 2 innings he's pitched in the bigs this year, he has a 12% barrel rate, okay? And, you know, obviously the White Sox are not good against righties, but even last night they started to show that. I think the word for them against righties is pesky. They're not good, but they're not terrible. Like, they have some good hitters, and I think because they have good hitters, you can say, okay, there's some guys in this lineup that I'm interested in. You know, and that for me just starts with the top of it. Leroy Garcia has been pretty solid as a leadoff batter. I think Melky is pretty solid. He's hitting switch. He's obviously okay. And then Abreu and Avisal Garcia, those are your power bats. And the thing that you like here is okay, maybe they get to him a little bit earlier than normal, right? Maybe they do a little bit of good work against Gaviglio. And they get to the Mariners bullpen, and the Mariners bullpen is one of the worst in baseball as far as xFIP goes. And I have elevated xFIP above elevated xFIP. So, you know, we can definitely look at any of just the quality bats and expect that they're going to get some nice PAs against a bad bullpen here. In a game that's probably going to see a lot of lineups turning over. So Garcia, both of the Garcias, Abreu, you know, even Matt Davidson, if he's up there, Melky is fine. He's not great, but none of these guys are going to break the bank for you. So you're not, you know, Abreu and Avisel Garcia are the most expensive ones. Okay, fine. You know, you can mix and match, stack these games up for sure. Stack this game up for sure. And then the obvious play is the Dodgers. The Dodgers against Volquez. This is just kind of very nice to have on a slate with a lot of uncertainty. Volquez is a guy, you know, that we can absolutely target. He has, you know, 24% strikeout rate, but a 16% walk rate. The guy just doesn't have control. Like, if he could figure out the control, like, he'd be a pretty solid pitcher. 4% barrel rate. He hasn't been getting very deep into games, you know, and we know that, you know, while he's good, he's not great, and he could get blown up in this one. Batted ball data, you know, he's not terrible. The guy can keep the ball down. He's got a 50% ground ball rate. You know, that's great. You know, positive ground ball to fly ball ratio. But I still think, you know, you're talking about one of the best right-handed hitting teams in the MLB. So we're stacking up the Dodgers here in this spot. No problem with, you know, the classic characters. It's got to be Seager and Bellinger to start. You can add Grandel. You can add Jock. You can add Justin Turner. All of these guys with elevated wOBAs against right-handed pitching. And all of these guys with power upside. You know, looking at the numbers here, one, two, three, four. Four guys with wOBAs above 400, five if you include Chris Taylor, and then power belongs to Bellinger, Grandal, Taylor, even Puig has some power there. He's just kind of, you know, is blending in, trying to make sure people know he can still hit righties. He's like, this is what everybody else is doing. I better learn how to hit righties. And every once in a while, you know, Puig is like, Joey Gallo, home run or strikeout. That's it. That's what you get from Yasiel Puig. Hopefully maybe he gets hit by a pitch. So that's it, man. You know, I think that that those are the stackable games. You know, the O's Athletics game is very interesting. O's Athletics and then Sox Red Sox. Good gracious. Red Sox Athletics game is interesting because Sonny Gray just really hasn't been able to work deep into games, and the Red Sox are very patient at bats. I just think you're paying a lot for a team that might only score four runs. Like, why am I going to pay 4-8 for Mookie Betts when he might just get, you know, an RBI double and that's it? And they take this win and they go home and it's, you know, six runs, four runs. You know, they just aren't impressive right now as far as an offense, and I'd much rather have shares of some of these bigger, more powerful offenses. I could have interest in the Yankees against Duffy, who has been getting shelled by righties, just ask the White Sox, but I just don't know if we're going to get the rain problem there. If there's not a rain problem in there, I'm totally good with the Holiday Castro Judge stack here. No problem with that. I think the problem is, of course, that you're going to have massive rain probability here. And that's not great. You know, that's not good. But Duffy, man, he just, against right-handed power hitters, has not had it. The White Sox have his number, and they have blown him up. Avisel Garcia has made a living just by hitting Danny Duffy. So good with the right-handed power bats in New York as well against Danny Duffy. That's it for me, guys, in the player breakdown. But let's go ahead over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can make a quick lineup over there and figure out, you know, what we're going to do with this kind of messy slate. All right. So if we start with Stroman, Let's start with Stroman, and let's start with the Dodgers. I mean, just kind of some things that you know about the world. It's Dodgers against righties. You know, it's that Marcus Stroman gets ground balls. Those are kind of things that make me comfortable on what is a weird and crazy slate. So I'm going over here. I'm going to get Bellinger. I'm going to get Seager. I'm going to get Grandal. Right. And then I'm going to just kind of leave the rest of my lineup open here. And I'm going to look straight away at this Seattle-Chicago game, because I want shares of the Seattle-Chicago game for sure. And I've got second base. I've got third base. Robinson Cano not in there. God, I wish he was. But he's not. So I'm going to go with Kyle Seager. He is a great righty masher. And he should be in the top of the lineup. He should be up there. I'm going to go with Kyle Seager. I'm obviously going to go with Nelson Cruz. I'm not going to not follow my own advice there. I'm going to get Ben Gamel in there. Okay, so I got three-man. I got three-man Seattle, three-man Dodgers stack. And now I need to punt a second baseman and an outfielder. So second baseman punt. I am going to look at, obviously, my boy Jed Lowry is out there. Ryan Goins, he's a lefty against a righty in Tehran. And he, you know, is sometimes up in the lineup. But he is just ice cold. I could go Chase Utley if I wanted to get another piece of the, if I wanted to get another piece of this Los Angeles offense, and that's not a terrible idea, 2,300, I think you could do worse than that. So let's get Chase Utley in there, and then I need a $2,400 outfielder. I know that there's going to be one, just because the way that lineups these days have been kind of, you know, ugly. There's definitely some cheap options out here. And I think that, you know, you look at a guy... Looking here, let me see. Ah, Yasiel Puig is right there. Right there. But not going to be in the lineup. Jeff Decker is probably not going to be in the lineup. Maybe Chris Young in the lineup here for Boston. He's been showing up every once in a while. Played last night. Well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and figure out maybe we got to pump the brakes on Yasmani Grandal, okay? And we'll downgrade our catcher, and we'll look at a guy like Omar Navarez here, the White Sox guy. White Sox catcher, lefty-righty matchup for him against Gaviglio. Old Gaviglio. We know old Gaviglio. And we're going to swap in Jock Peterson there in the outfield. And I'm going to get off of Chase Utley. And I'm going to go back to second base because there's much more punt options. There's far more punt options at second base than there are at in the outfield right now, as far as I can tell. So... $2,400 for a second baseman. I can go, you know, Jed Lowry, boom, right there, you know, just punting second base. I know he's going to be in the top of the order and against a righty. So I'm okay with that. And, you know, I get, you know, 6 points out of Jed Lowry. You know, and that's what I've got is I've got a real solid Los Angeles four-man stack, a solid Seattle three-man stack with power upside and Gamel, Seager, and Cruz. And then I just kind of pick and choose my punts in the catcher and second base spots. You know, and that's with Stroman in there. So it feels pretty good. You know, that feels all right. I think if you wanted to get exposure to the White Sox lineup, you absolutely could. And like I said, if you want exposure, you're looking at Abreu. You're looking at maybe Davidson because they both have power upside. Avisail Garcia is an obvious one. Melky Cabrera is pretty cheap as well. Leroy Garcia is also pretty cheap at 2,900. So totally okay with the White Sox given their price. I think they're going to get to this bullpen, guys, and that's a good thing. They, you know, they have power, and the Seattle bullpen has been really, really bad. Just ask the Blue Jays. All right, guys, that is it for me. You can make the late slate work. The lineup, if you want to know what it was, just a reminder, it's Stroman, Narváez, Cody Bellinger, Jed Lowry, Kyle Seager, Corey Seager. Oh, look at that, the Seager twins. Nelson Cruz, Ben Gamel, and Jock Peterson. So four-man Dodgers, three-man Seattle, and then I'm punting catcher and second base with guys that I know are in decent positions here. So that's it. That's it for the late slate. Good luck tonight. It's an ugly one, but hey, I always say somebody's got to win all the money. And it happens every single night. Somebody wins all the money, and why wouldn't they? All right, good luck in your contest, guys, and I will see you tomorrow.